We're at the end of the month of May, gone by incredibly fast.
Yes, it has.
Tomorrow is June 1, and I've learned a bunch this week. What have you been paying attention to and thinking about this week?
Well, just the very thought of this being halfway through the year, like, oh yeah, you're right.
It's crazy, remarkably
fast. I've been thinking a lot about the DNA of VUCA. I did a keynote for W. Bex on that topic. And it just seems like it continues to gradually unfold and fit more and more circumstances. But this idea that the more experience we get with diversity, novelty, and adversity, the more adaptable we become. And there's the research that I've been looking at in terms of how powerful people's experiences are with adversity in particular, that I've been hesitant to recommend, you know, go seek adverse experiences, but actually that's what athletes do.
Exactly.
When they go out and exercise, they push themselves to their limits. That's what artists do, and all kinds of creative types and elite performers do. You know, violinists who play until their fingers are bleeding. Like, they put themselves into those adverse circumstances intentionally. And it's not just any adverse experience. It's the adverse experiences that strengthen them in the ways that they really need that take them to a new level of performance. So instead of saying, like, well, we can't recommend that you go out and, you know, do all these difficult things, actually, yeah, we should. You want to be a great leader, you have to put yourself in those most difficult leadership situations. Tackle the tough problems, tackle the tough teams, tackle the tough decisions, and get that kind of experience, even when it's painful.
You know, it's the time-tested thing that we sort of are trying to avoid with this VUCA world we're living in. But the truth is, all the great learning that all of us have been in the face of adversity. And it's why the advice to parents is, if you don't let kids have consequences, they don't get better. They don't learn. And we've gotten to a society where we've tried to protect people. We have more resources. We're able to do that differently. So kids end up being more coddled. They don't have the adversity. They don't get that strength along the way. They don't have those learning moments early in their lives. And I think you're so right that leaders need to do that.
There's a challenging point for some of the folks I've been working with lately, where they're trying to protect their teams from all the chaos around them.
Yeah.
Like, give them more of that. Like, get them, say, well, but some of them can't handle it. So find the edge of what they can handle, you know, and just keep building on that. But that's where they will learn and grow.
Exactly. And if you're a cyclist and you do the same hour ride every day with the same hills and same thing, you could do that 7 days a week. You never get better. Mm-hmm. You can ride that ride really well, but you never get better.
Yep.
So if you want to ride better, you have to do stuff that's hard.
So that's one thing. How about you?
We both have been doing some keynotes and discussion leading this week, and we hosted a panel. It was a rock star panel with you and the head of coaching for Facebook and IBM and Lyft, and all of these folks were extraordinary, and I found that a really interesting panel. You and I have been on the need for great coaching for quite some time, and we both have been certification agnostic. We felt certification might help you find somebody that's really good, but it's not a promise of someone that's really great. And Jennifer said something really interesting this week, which is...
Jennifer Paler from IBM,
thank you. That 10 years ago, certification was a must. Today, if you're a great coach and you can demonstrate it, we don't care, you know, to have a certificate. And I think that's a real sea change that we've been predicting for a while. Mm-hmm. So it's nice to see that playing out in some of the biggest stages.
Yeah, very cool.
We went to a magic show last night.
Yes.
And I thought that was fascinating. And I'm curious what your takeaway and parallels to what we're up to are.
Well, even better, like, the magic show was awesome. Andrew, I don't know his last name.
I forget his last name also.
We invited him to come and speak with our group this morning. And he was talking a little bit about the intention that he has and how he thinks about sequencing things. And as a magician, he's really paying attention to where's the spotlight of attention.
Mm.
And one of the things he said this morning that was so fascinating for me is he's really trying to create a uniform experience in the audience so that they're all kind of drawn to the same thing, so that he knows everyone is looking over here right now. And then, you know, while he's doing this, he can reach over with this other hand and do something else, or you know, people don't even notice. And he showed us some of those things. And I thought, as a coach, I'm often trying to draw the client's attention to themselves, to their own, you know, issue and their topic, and just really zoom in on that particular thing. And the magic I'm trying to do is I'm trying to disappear. Mm. So I want to make myself disappear from the show, so that I'm not distracting them. So intentionally guiding their attention to their issue so they can work on it without distractions, without any distractions for me, because they, at some point, they don't even notice that I'm there anymore.
Yeah.
And so I don't want to be like, oh, that's great. I don't want to do all these things that would distract them. I don't want to look like, oh, David asked another powerful question. I want them to, you know, when I get to the end, they say, do you remember when I said this thing? Like, no. It's not about, do you remember what I did? It's more about, was this great? And that they feel like, wow, that was so helpful.
Yeah. What's interesting to me about that is it can often look like that when you're doing that guidance, that's giving advice or telling people what to do. And I think as coaches, it's our job to actually shape the engagement, to cut out the stuff that's less important so that we can work on the most focused thing. And sometimes that may be saying, let's go over here.
Right.
Now, if your whole engagement is do this, do this, do this, do this, that's not coaching. But our job is to shape and guide.
And I think a lot of that is actually just reframing. So let's look at this. You know, it could feel like it's directive, but if I'm on their agenda and I'm reframing how they're looking and what they're seeing and what they're paying attention to, and they look and like, oh yeah. You know, so it's about their agenda, not about ours.
And let's look at this is in some ways a very powerful question or request, as opposed to you must do this. Right. Yeah, it's fascinating.
So that whole, where's the magic in coaching? You know, what kind of magician are we? But how do we use some of those same principles of being intentional about where we direct their attention and where we direct our own attention?
Now, if we disappear too much, do the clients start thinking that they did it all and they don't need us?
That's the risk. And I think at some point in my own development, I was focused so intently on disappearing that I disappeared.
Yeah.
And then I started trying to do a different kind of magic, which was actually making sure that in any conversation, there were two or three moments where they said, like, how did he do that? Like, so that there was some real magic. So I'm looking for things that I can do that don't distract from the overall outcome, but really create that sense of wonder, like, ooh, David, you know, so that they're saying, like, yeah, he's good. But I don't want the number one takeaway to be, oh, it's all about David. I want the number one attention to be like, that was so helpful. And David's good is the second.
Yeah. So there's two things I've done around that. One is I've let people know that if I do my job well, over time it will look like I've disappeared.
Yeah.
And so don't be fooled that we're working to get, because I'm working to have you be super competent and grow and not need me. I'm not trying to build a long-term relationship. So I've set that up for people. The other thing I talked about in my talk yesterday was you have to deliver awesome value every coaching session, and a lot of it. And if you aren't having those awesome moments like you just described there, you're not doing it well enough. And I think if you really want to be a great coach and get past the age of robots, you're going to have to deliver those amazing moments all the time. It can't be accidental.
Yep. Great stuff.
Another thing I learned this week, which I think was really interesting to me, or this month, was really, I've been reading so much more on robots and empathy. And this is where coaches have thought, oh, we've got a big edge because I'm human and I care and I can be so much more empathetic. The truth is robots are now getting better at empathy than humans. Now, the thing that's really interesting is the robots doesn't care. They just don't care at all. But for the person who's interacting with them, they have the same emotional experience. And I showed a slide of a robot called Furhat yesterday, and it's designed to be human-like, but clearly a robot. Mm. And what they've discovered is that people are more disclosing, more honest, more straightforward with the robot than with the human. And so this is a place where, as a human, you can't get better at having people trust you because they're afraid you're going to judge you if you tell them something terrible about yourself. So I thought that's really interesting to see that research coming together, that robots are really far more relatable than people give them credit for.
Yeah, I know. It's surprising, but true. Yeah.
So it's been an interesting month. I'll look forward to seeing what we learn next.
Me too. June should be exciting.
Yes, indeed. And then we'll really be at the halfway point through the year.
Exactly. Cool.
Thank you.
Thank you.